Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness. Brought to you by Forever Family Foundation. On the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I call your name. The echo is haunting. The echo is always the same. I call your name. The echo is haunting. An echo can never be changed. So I call your name.
Good evening and welcome everybody to Signs of Life Radio's Medium Insights Hour. It's a show where we get to explore the mindsets of many accomplished spiritual mediums on a variety of topics related to the study of consciousness, spirituality, and the afterlife. My name is Roman Karpyshka, and as your host, once again, I'm very honored and privileged to have these one-on-one conversations with some very talented and gifted mediums. Today is no exception. Our guest is medium Joe Peretta. Joe Peretta is a psychic medium certified by the Forever Family Foundation and currently lives on Long Island. As a child, Joe had a hard time hiding his affinity for the spirit world. After the death of his maternal grandmother, he would see, feel, and receive signs of her presence on a daily basis. In his teen years, he started having prophetic dreams and visions, which he didn't always understand, and this made him shy away from his gifts for over a decade. After seeking spiritual guidance from various psychic mediums and being told numerous times that he was a medium, Joe was still apprehensive about it. One day he was asked to do an impromptu mediumship reading at a dinner party, which was his first reading, really. And the overwhelming success of this reading gave him the validation that he needed to continue on his life path. It's not only his mission to heal as many people as possible through his beautiful mediumship gift, but also to prove that the world, that the soul is eternal. He has a website where he can be reached, and that is www.joeperetta, that's with two R's, joeperretta.com. And before we introduce him, just want to mention a few other things. One, that our show is sponsored by a fine cast of supporters such as the Kamluck Center, Love Knows No Death, and Dr. Parisetti and others. And also, it's important to remember that tonight's show is conducted for research and informational purposes only. So your questions for Joe are more than welcome, but please keep in mind that there won't be any readings being performed tonight. So if you have any questions for our esteemed guest, please feel free to call 1-888-627-6008. And also, if you guys want to listen in, the best way to listen in, I guess, would be to go to bbsradio.com, station 1. That's what this is being aired on. Also, if you can't find that, just Google the Signs of Life Radio on Google, and it'll take you to the website where you'll have the link to the bbsradio.com station. All right, so without any further ado, Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me back.
You're very welcome. It's been a while since we spoke, but a lot has transpired since the last couple of years that we've talked. But
that's to say the least.
I know. It's a crazy world that we're living in, isn't it?
Very much so.
Yeah, hopefully it'll start getting back to normal with these vaccines and, you know, who knows.
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
just got to play it smart, play it safe. And,
exactly.
I'd like to start by wishing our Jewish listeners and friends a very happy Hanukkah.
Happy
Hanukkah, isn't it?
Yes. Is today the first day or the second day?
I think it is. I'm not of that religion, but I believe it.
Same.
Is because, it's bombarded on the media. You hear about it.
Right. Well, either way, happy Hanukkah, everybody.
Yeah, happy Hanukkah. as Billy Crystal would say, happy harmonica.
Right.
So, hey, we're going to do a slightly different show tonight from the last time that you were here. Bob Ginsberg, a while ago, had a wonderful idea of soliciting questions from members of the Forever Family Foundation. So, and, you know, they've been coming in like crazy because, you know, let our listeners speak and let them ask some questions. And some of them are very, very good questions. So we sent out a questionnaire, and, you know, they responded, and Bob Ginsberg sent them over to me. And so I'm just going to shoot them out for you, okay?
Cool. Works for me.
Yeah, yeah. So, so the very first question that we have is, like, what's it like on the other side? Are these disincarnated spirits or souls experience a different sort of life than we have on this side?
It's a really good question. And it's one that I guess I'm qualified to answer since I do talk to them.
Of course.
They've given me insights and little glimpses of what it's like on the other side, but I would never claim to know, you know, everything that goes on. But they do explain to me often that it's not, it's almost like, how could I put this? We don't even know the questions to ask them about their reality being on the other side, because it really truly is so different from here in the physical world, because there is no physical body, or, you know, it's really just energy is how they explain it to me, or pure consciousness, you could call it. But they do explain to me that on the other side, that perception, that's the word that they use with me, because it's almost not enough to say that they see something or that they will feel something. It's more like a very high level of, if you think like with televisions, like you have, you know, standard, what is it, SD and HD, right? High def.
Right.
It's like they're in high def on the other side, and they're perceiving, and they're still sort of seeing and hearing, but it's almost like times 1,000 is how they show it to me. Like, you know, so it's very hard to really, with language, because we really don't even have the language for it, because I really truly believe when you get to the other side that a lot of the experiences are beyond language. It's really more about experience and and perception.
So it's like a bigger immersion into everything, pretty much.
Yeah, like it's almost too, I think, from what I've gathered from what they've told me in readings over the last however many years I'm doing this, it's almost 10, I think, is that empathy on the other side too, you know, empathy for other people is kind of like a totally different thing from what it is here. I mean, here, you know, you have to sit down for a second, you feel bad for someone, oh my God, you know, they're going through this, they're going through that. You know, you might have a little pain in your chest, or you feel bad for them. But on the other side, it's like you get to actually experience not just, you know, what they saw and what they felt, but or what they are feeling, but you sort of go through it with them. Like, you feel their emotions. And you know, they explain this to me all the time, especially for a lot of listeners, I'm sure, that most people listening have heard about, you know, life reviews and near-death experiences. And I think that sort of level of perception where you're able to switch places with someone almost, or stand in their shoes as if you were them, that continues as you're on the other side. But I did hear something very interesting recently that I will share with everyone, which I loved. And I may be forgetting some of the details because it was during a reading, and I kind of forget what they tell me during readings after the fact. But I had read someone whose father was very politically active when he was alive, and he passed, I think it was this year, I'm pretty sure he was a recent passing when I had done the reading. And he talked about the other side having like a group of souls, basically, like a coalition on the other side that actually helped the United States with the whole election process, which I thought was really interesting that they even sort of, and he said that they didn't influence it to the point where they made something happen, but they sort of, you know, make a person leave at 2:05 instead of, you know, 1:55, and then they end up, you know, running into someone, and then a conversation that they have ends up making that person want to vote, or, you know what I mean? Like, just little things like that they sort of showed me. So I thought that was pretty cool that they kind of guide us into using our free will for whatever reason. It wasn't so much making people do one thing or the other, but making us make a choice, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a very sophisticated way of doing it. I mean, that's what social media is trying to do all the time to us, right? Trying
right.
to immerse us and trying right. to make us buy their product and, you know, increase our screen time. And they got these crazy algorithms that can do that. I mean, I
right,
watched
right.
this show. It was on Netflix. It's called The Social Dilemma.
Crazy show.
Yeah. I highly recommend anybody with children to watch it, because it's gonna really open some eyes about what is really going on here.
Oh, definitely.
And, but anyways, getting back to spirit, it's probably a little bit like that, but, like, you know, much, much, much more sophisticated.
Right, and less about manipulating. It's more they try to influence us to exercise our free will, because that's really, like, from what I've learned from spirit, kind of getting a little off topic, but that's a big part of our personal power here in the physical world, is we've been given free will. We can choose to do good, we can choose to do bad, we can choose to do nothing. And this woman's father explained to me that they wanted everyone, or a lot of people, to do something, you know, vote their conscience one way or the other. So I thought that was pretty cool that they sort of have, like, organizations on the other side, basically, and like, you know, jobs.
That is interesting. So another question. Do our loved ones remember us and their experience on this side when they cross over?
Absolutely. That question, you know, has been answered for me in every single reading I've done. I mean, you know, when I sit down with someone and their child comes through, or even their dog, or, you know, whoever, when they bring up details about, you know, the sitter's life, memories, or stuff that's going on with them right now, you know, even the fact that they're coming through means that they remember you and they know who you are. You know, when they pass, it's not like everyone gets absorbed into this, like, you know, stream of consciousness and they just become all one mush and no one knows who they are or who they were or where they've been. That's so not the experience that they've explained to me. It's more they become part, or we're always really part of a bigger whole, but we get to the other side and we really get to see it. But they do not forget their experiences or, you know, the people that they loved. I think it's quite the opposite. I think a lot of their purpose becomes the people that they love and what they went through. And I will say, too, I don't know who, you know, asked the question or why they would ask it, but I would imagine that someone may wonder about that if they have a reading and maybe someone that they really loved didn't come through, or someone, you know, that they love came through but didn't bring up something that they thought they would. And I do want to remind everyone that they don't always bring up everything, because, you know, your life is filled with so many details and there's so many things that they could talk about. You know, as mediums, especially, I know all of my Forever Family colleagues, we all go into readings asking for them to give information that's the most healing and for the highest good of everyone involved. And that doesn't always turn out to be what you're expecting to hear. So I did just want to remind everyone listening, and even the person who may have submitted that question, if that's why you're asking, please don't worry about that. It's not because they forgot you or that they don't remember who they were.
Right. It could be a timing issue too, right? Because they don't experience time on the other side the way they do on this side. So it might be, you know, something with a timing issue as well.
Correct. I actually am still this day trying to wrap my mind around how time works on the other side, because they kind of come through. And again, in the near-death experience literature, you hear people talk about how time basically wasn't even a factor on the other side. And I can't really... It's very hard when you live in this linear world to figure out exactly what that experience is. But it definitely, it could be a timing thing. But, you know, I think most of the time, honestly, the information that comes through is for our own good. Most, you know, I would say all the time, if the medium is doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, I kind of compare it to medicine, basically. You know, medicine doesn't always taste good, but it's what you need. So sometimes what you need isn't always what you wanted to get out of a reading. But it's in the long run, if the reading was conducted, you know, by a good medium, any of the Forever Family mediums with the right, you know, intention, you're going to get what you need, even if it might not seem, you know, like what you wanted. And sometimes that can leave you questioning, you know, does my father even remember who I am? Why didn't he come through? Why did I get my mom? Or why did, you know, all those questions. So that's, you know, kind of why I know that's not what the person asked, but I did just want to validate that for people that they do remember. It's not about that.
So these spirits on the other side, are they observing us in some way? Are they like angels on our shoulders, so to speak?
I mean, that's what it feels like to me, even in my own life with my own, you know, family who's passed and who's still around. You know, from the other side, but they explain it to me all the time and they prove it to me in readings when, for instance, you know, another example, I just read someone, I don't know, maybe earlier this week or it was recently, and someone came through and brought up that whoever this was just changed their hair, like very, very recently. And who I was talking to, you know, the sitter said, oh my God, I can't believe that they know about that. So that's just their way of proving that they're still around and that they still see everything that we're doing. But again, it's a form of perception that's so much higher than ours that I don't know if you could even use the word like they see, like, with their two eyes, because it's more, they perceive it. But I do still think there's a visual component, if that makes any sense at all.
Very interesting. Can you comment on spirit guides? Like, what do you think about spirit guides?
Sure. So, I do think everyone has them. That's what mine have told me through the years. But I, you know, everyone listening should know that I am not a medium just because I decided one day that I was just going to do this. I won't say I reluctantly went into this world, but I needed it proven to me many, many times over before I was going to say, okay, like, this is going to be my life now. And spirit guides was part of that. So I do think everyone has them. And I really asked mine when I first really started to learn to channel and connect to them, because I learned that before I started speaking with people's loved ones on the other side. I connected with my guides first, and I kind of kept a journal, and I was like, all right, you know, if you guys are really there, you have to prove it. Like, I can't run around talking about guides now and not know you're there. And they, I mean, proved it in spades of so many stories. So I do think everyone has them, but I think your aptitude for psychic ability and how developed your psychic senses are does affect your ability to get, like, direct messages from them. Sometimes if you're not as open, or your, you know, third eye isn't as open or whatever it is, you won't get the messages like how I'll get them and hear, you know, like a voice or I'll just know something. They have to kind of send it to you through, you know, through other ways.
Do people have, like, one spirit guide or several, or how does that work? Does it depend?
So I actually, you know, I've gone back and forth with this because I learned one way, but then my guide showed me something different. So I myself have, like, three main guides, I would call them, that I know have been with me from birth. But throughout my life, I've had other guides that will come in as I'm going through something. Or if I'm learning something new, all of a sudden I'll have a new guide that says, you know, if you need anything, this is who I am. I'll help you along this path, or, you know, that kind of thing. So I know there's different traditions. Some people will teach that there's just one spirit guide. Some people teach that there are hundreds. I think it, from what I can see in talking to everyone, I think it's sort of personal. I think it depends on what you need and what your soul's purpose is and what direction you're going in and how much help, you know, you might need. Maybe you're someone who doesn't need as many spirit guides. You only have two. Or maybe you're someone who needs a little bit more of a push, and you have five. So I do, in short, I think that it's all different. And most of the time, I think it's multiple guides. But I don't think there's anything wrong if someone says, you know, every time I connect, I only see this one. Maybe that's how you operate. It's all very, very personal.
Very interesting. One of our listeners writes that in listening to a seminar online at UVA, I guess that's University of Virginia. Some very real evidence of reincarnation and past life experiences came up. So how does reincarnation work? Is it voluntary?
So that I actually don't know too much about. But I will tell you, and I know who that person's talking about. They're probably talking about Jim Tucker, because he's done really, really good work. He's continued the work of, I believe it's Ian Stevenson. For those of you who don't know, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. He's written a couple of books, and it's about young children who remember past lives or details about past lives of their own, and then they verify them in real time, you know, the town that they said they lived in and the person who died and how they died and all this stuff. Very, very.
Not only that, they got the scars from previous lives. Very interesting
exit
stuff.
Wounds, really, really, like, so much so that actually when Carl Sagan was alive, he even acknowledged it as a valid area of study, which is big for him because I believe he prided himself on being a very skeptical person. But anyway, I think that maybe when we come back, as far as like our when here in the physical world, is voluntary, but I don't think the process is a voluntary one. Like, I think our souls have to come back. Like, I think that's just how it works. I'm not sure if that's like some undiscovered law of some other branch of science that in 1,000 years we'll have, or if that's sort of, if you are a person who subscribes to maybe a higher power, universe, God, whatever you want to call it, if it's sort of mandated in that way. I'm not really too sure, but I do think that it's a process that happens whether you like it or not. but I do think we have some control over maybe what lessons we come back to learn. And I have heard that we choose our parents from the other side. They've showed me that. I've read that in a lot of literature of people who do what I do and, you know, other things. So I do think we have some free will even when it comes to reincarnation. But I don't think you can opt out. If that's the question, right. I don't think that's an option there.
It's probably a progression of the soul. I think we incarnate in the first, to learn some hard lessons, which
agreed.
In spirit, you probably, you know, everything is there for you, pretty much. You want something, you want to be somewhere, you're there.
Right.
Whereas we are, you know, toiled down here in the physical world, and we're, you know, we have these bodies that are sluggish, and we
right.
have gravity, and we have illness, and, you know, the speed of thought, and how fast, you know, there's all these limitations, and it really makes
right.
us slow down, I think. It's kind of
right,
like,
definitely.
Just to kind of make us learn at a slower pace, I guess, but at a harder experience, I guess.
Right, I think. Yeah. You know, it's so funny, not to cut you off, but my guides just now showed me, it's so funny, but they use, like, metaphors and analogies a lot with me, and they showed me, like, clay, right, being formed into, like, a pot or something, whatever, you know, you make with clay, and then they said the physical world or reincarnating is like the oven. Like, you can't solidify things and have, you know, you can't be a clay pot for real without being baked in the oven, so sort of the physical world, which I think is such a funny analogy, is sort of the oven that we cook in. You know what I mean? And we solidify. So I think that's pretty interesting that they use that.
Wow. So just to go on a little bit more reincarnation, this writer also said, if reincarnation is not the way of things, doesn't that allow for infinite creation and separate consciousnesses? If you account for all those people who have passed before and those who will pass in the future, doesn't the development of conscious go on forever? How does it all fit? That's a very...
Okay, I'm not even sure I understand. It's a loaded
yeah,
question.
Yeah, I wasn't too sure I understood it either. But I guess
that's...
Well, the whole premise of the question, if reincarnation is not the way of things.
Right.
Which I don't believe that is... I truly believe that there is some kind of reincarnation.
Right.
I think there's lots of proof of it. There's that... Right. Four-year-old kid that remembers being a World War II fighter pilot.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was a big thing, and he just, you know, you can't fake stuff like that. So, I mean, I'm pretty much sold on it. But, so do you have, I guess this kind of leads into, do you have any insights of why we incarnate in the first place? What's the purpose of it?
Well, I sort of think maybe that's why they gave me the oven analogy just now in anticipation of this mm-hmm. question, is because you can't, you need to go through... You there?
Oh, I'm sorry. My phone bleeped out for a second. So you were saying
that's okay.
The oven analogy, exactly.
So I think that maybe why they gave it to me, possibly in anticipation of this question.
Very interesting.
Because
you know what?
Mm-hmm.
We have. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
That's okay.
We do have a caller that is a lady by the name of Margaret from New York that wants to ask you something. Would you like to take a caller?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we can take a call. Great.
Great. All right. So let's have Margaret from New York. Are you there, Margaret?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hi. Welcome to the
can
show. Welcome to Signs of Life.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
So, talking about reincarnation.
Yeah.
My question is, do you know, does anyone ever say to you how long you need to stay on the other side before you come back?
Okay, good question. So, people ask me this all the time, and I have maybe a two-part answer, and one of it is just maybe speculation, and then one is... Well, one part of it is that time doesn't work the same on the other side. So they sort of show it to me like they're almost outside of time. And not to get too, like, scientific on you, but when you look at something traveling at the speed of light, right? As you approach the speed of light, distance is not really distance anymore. You can basically, a million miles or 1 inch is the same if you're at the speed of light, or if you break the speed of light, then, you know, all bets are off. And time, it also kind of stops, basically. So I do think we don't have a physical body. I think that whole connection to being pure energy and the speed of light is really the key to understanding, like, how they see us from outside of space and time. Now, I think that means that when they reincarnate, for them, being on the other side may just be like an eternity and in the blink of an eye all at once. Like, I don't know if a question of time even really applies to where we go when we pass, but this is the other answer that I will give you, that I think somehow factors in. But again, this is just my opinion. I really do feel that when the people that we leave behind when we pass don't, when they get to the other side, basically, and then, you know, everyone that you've known has passed and they're there with you, I kind of feel like that might be the time when people begin to reincarnate again. Most people, I'm thinking, because it's sort of like your work on the other side is done, and now, you know, it's like you pass the torch to the people who get there, and now they can continue protecting their loved ones, and you can go back into the same family, or, you know, your soul group goes to a different family, because I do believe in the whole soul group thing. But to be honest with you, I don't know how both of those two theories fit together. Like, I could be wrong about one of them. But I kind of think the way that you have to look at this stuff, I almost think there is two answers, because there's an answer for our world and an answer for their world. And I don't think either one is wrong. I think it just depends on where you're standing and who's asking. You know what I mean?
I think you hit the nail on the head there, Joe, because we can only measure time the way that we know how to measure time, and that's from our world. So I think, Margaret, you're asking, you know, probably how much time from our perspective, because from the other side, correct, there is no time. There's no time at all. So,
right.
You know.
So that's what I've been told. Their day is not like our day. There are
no
days.
Right.
That's
right.
What I've been told.
Right, but it's a little confusing. Okay. It's hard to wrap your mind around. It's hard for me to wrap my mind around, and I talk to them, so I get it.
Well, thank you so much for calling the show, Margaret.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, thank you.
Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was an interesting question.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, yeah. And please, listeners, feel free to call in. We love your questions. I had this one question from this person writes, "Dear Mr. Peretta, I'm struggling with the belief that when a person is dead, they're dead. Ashes and nothing else. How do we know otherwise? Thanks so much."
So
where to begin?
There is... the guys aren't making it easy tonight. once again, if you're struggling with that, I'll tell you from my point of view, and from someone, you know, I'm someone who's also struggled with that. Even though I'm a medium, I still, you know, I need a lot of proof. I need a lot of evidence. And for me, it was my experiences that really convinced me that there's more. For some people, it's the scientific evidence. If you're a person who, and I don't know, you know, who asked this and what, you know, you're about, but if you really trust science and you find, you know, information that comes out of data and you know, experiments and labs and things like that, there's so much literature out there about that it's...
Oh, yeah, especially with quantum physics.
It
is proving it beyond... It's crazy how much proof there is now in science.
Right.
Like,
and, you know,
you've heard of the double slit experiment.
Right. And it's very hard. It was hard for me to accept all the scientific stuff, not because I didn't believe it, but because the mainstream consensus of science is that you just die and that's it. And anything that pokes holes in the theory of materialism is sort of swept under the rug, or they try to discredit it. So as you're looking this up, you may find people who try to say, no, that this isn't real and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, the evidence doesn't say that. But, you know, when it all starts to pile up, you kind of go, okay, guys, like, shut up. there's obviously something more going on here. So for me, that does help. But in the end, it's about the experiences that I had. And I don't know, whoever's asking this may not have had their own experiences with spirit, but I can tell you from my own personal experience that they are 100% there. I have every single time I have asked for some kind of proof, piece of evidence, a specific, I'll share this on the radio because it happened already, so it's not giving anything away about my own life. Last year, I asked my grandmother to give me a sign. Now, my grandmother's been passed since 1995, I think, so it's been a long time. I've gotten countless signs from her, but last year, I was like, I need to know you're still around. So I asked her to show me a dreidel. I'm not Jewish. We talked about this already, Roman. I'm not really religious at all, but you know, my family's basically Catholic. We're Italian Catholic. And so I picked something that I know I would never see, and it wasn't around Hanukkah. This was in February, so I knew I wasn't going to see one anywhere. And I said, you know, if you're really still around, could you please send this to me? So a few things happened. A good friend of mine, a medium, who's actually another Forever Family medium. Everyone knows who she is, Kim Russo. We were working an event together last year, and it's so funny. She came up to me. Actually, no, this was in March. I'm lying to you. It wasn't in February. It was in March. And she came up to me, and she gave me my grandmother's name immediately. We had never talked about her, and she said, you know, she told you, you asked her to send you a sign, and she said she's working on it. So right there, I was like, now no one even knew that I did this. How the hell would my friend know? You know, whatever.
Right,
so
right,
that
right.
was validation number one. But then, like, a week or two later, I am, you know, I'm watching TV, and I was with a couple of friends. This was before, you know, COVID, so you can just go wherever you wanted and enjoy yourself. And I was with friends, and they left the room for a minute, and I just happened to pay attention to the TV at that time. And on the television, the TV show we were watching had a dreidel just spinning on the TV. So I said, oh, my God, could this possibly be it? And then I was still questioning it a little bit, believe it or not. And then, like, 2 seconds later, my grandmother's name was written across the television in the TV show.
Oh, wow.
So I said,
That's amazing.
I guess.
There you go.
So
done.
Right.
Done
so
deal.
My advice to the person who asked this is, if you're having your doubts about it and you're struggling with it, I totally understand. But my whole thing with spirit and the reason why I am a medium and I agreed to do this with them is because I told them, if you're really there, it shouldn't be hard to show me, right?
Yeah,
so I tell all my clients the same thing. If you need the proof, just ask them. Say, listen, so-and-so, send me this, send me that. Don't tell anyone else. And just, you know, just wait for it. You'll get it. I promise. It's never not come through for me.
We have another caller. We have
Jeannie
Goldman from New York City online. So would you like to take a question from her as well?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay.
My neighbor.
Let's get Jeannie on the line. Jeannie, welcome to the show.
Hi. Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. I know that Joe Peretta is the real deal. I just want to let you know. But
thank you, Jeannie.
You know what? He actually is very good at connecting because I lost my father and I went to see you, and then right a year later I lost my brother. And you had said something in the reading. Yeah, you had said you have a brother. I said no, I have two, and you said no, I don't see that. And then I lost my brother a year later, you know, to cancer. And I was like,
oh, my goodness.
I always
Sorry.
Remember that. But this, what I struggle with, and I hope you can answer this, I have been struggling for years about, you know, when you lose somebody that you're really close to, you just have this terrible feeling of totally disempowered. You feel so disempowered when your loved ones are dying, and you just feel like if I could have done this, if I did this, if I would have done that, then things would have been different. And I blame myself for a lot of things for years, and I continue to go over these details over and over, and I'm sure other people struggle with this. So then, you know, I know that I read in all the medium books that you can't control the time and the date of someone's death, you know, that you think that you're in control of a lot of things, but actually you're not. And I just wanted to hear from you live what you think about that when people feel, you know, like if I would have had a better doctor or if I would have not gone to the gym and I would have spent more time, you know, trying to figure out how to help this person get over their cancer. Like, you know, these kind of things, like I ruminate over this. But I don't know, what do you think about all that?
So they, I get this question a lot, actually, in my readings. And honestly, even during readings, people bring up all the time, who, you know, people who've passed that they always say, you know, this couldn't have been prevented. I had this disease and I was going to pass no matter what. I do believe that there, for some people, there are multiple, I call them like exit points. Like you could have passed, let's just say, when you were 40 or 60, and then, you know, the last one's when you're 75 and, you know, the last train out, so you have to take it. I do think for some people that's possible. But to be honest, and I know I'm not doing readings tonight. This isn't technically a reading, but I do feel, especially when it's something so serious like cancer, they usually tell me in that case, like 99.9% of the time, that I had this disease and there was no way that anyone was going to cure me. Or it usually typically is like, I hate to say it this way, but sort of like your number is up, or your your time is called, basically. So you don't have to, I mean, I know it's easier said than done, but you don't have to feel bad about that, because I truly, truly believe, not just because I want to, because it's comforting, but because of what they tell me, that when it's your time, there's nothing keeping you here. And it's the same goes for, you know, when you, again, not to bring up the same thing again with the near-death experiences, but, you know, all these people who've had them, most of them will say they wanted to stay on the other side and somebody sent them back. So it really is about when it's your time, it's your time. So I know that it sucks. It's the worst to lose someone in the physical world, but I do find comfort, and I hope you do too, that, you know, it's all part of the plan, for better or for worse, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
yeah,
thank you. Thank you for your call.
I appreciate that.
Really appreciate it. Great question.
Thank you.
Have a good day. So with those words of wisdom, Joe, we're going to take a little short break, and we'll be back to answer a few more questions. So stay on the line, everybody. We will be back after a word from our dear sponsors.
The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
We all grieve in different ways, and let's face it, grief hurts. Losing a loved one is usually the hardest event we will ever face. We can throw our hands up and become hardened by our grief, or we can take positive steps to transform it. Love knows no death. A groundbreaking and powerful grief transformation method can be what you've been looking for to provide some peace and understanding. It was created and written by medical doctor and professor Dr. Piero Calvi Perissetti, and it's a combination of a self-help workbook and video course. The workbook has the power to lessen grief and foster significant healing, and has already helped countless people to not only lead productive lives, but to do so with the knowledge that they will indeed see their loved ones again. The workbook can be purchased for $19.95 on Amazon or on the ForeverFamilyFoundation.org Grief and Loss page, where a digital version is also available for $9.95. Love knows no death. Truer words have never been spoken. I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at ForeverFamilyFoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by Forever Family Foundation.
Hello, and welcome back, everybody, and thank you for sticking around. So we had a very interesting call earlier with Jeannie Goldman, who called in, and we actually have another caller. Her name is Sue, and she is calling from New Jersey. So let's plug her in. And Sue, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you so much for taking my call.
You're so welcome.
I kind of have a little bit of a trifle question. You had mentioned that souls can choose where they go, and mm-hmm. I was wondering, with that, are there souls that are special, that have special needs, that choose where they want to go, and do they always have those needs when they come back?
Do you mean like needs in the physical world, like being like disabled or mentally, like stuff like that?
Yes.
So I actually don't think that once, like, let's just say if I incarnated and I had autism, I don't think every single time my soul incarnated I would have autism. I think it has to do with whatever lessons your soul is supposed to be learning in that lifetime, and the way to get you to learn, and your parents or whoever else is supposed to be with you, was for that particular situation. You know what I mean? But I don't think that it's something that follows you into each life. Like in each life, you'll have, you know, a physical ailment or something like that.
Okay. I was wondering, my daughter had passed away and she was disabled, and I wondered if that was what her just path is throughout, and she comes back and if she would always be that way. You know, people talk about them, you know, people going and being free and being able to walk or do things. And I was curious if that's something that carries with you.
No, I they've never told me that. And I don't think that would be even conducive to the whole process of like your soul evolving, having the same experience over and over again. Like, I think from life to life, we carry some of the knowledge that we acquired, you know, like the sum of all of it, and even maybe the sum of some of our issues that we have to work out from life to life. But I think as far as, you know, physical stuff and things like that, that may have just been one way that, you know, that experience, rather, that your daughter was supposed to have, her soul, and then the next may be something totally different. So if that's something you were worried about, that it's sort of this loop, you know, that you'd sort of be on like a hamster running in a circle, that's not how that works at all.
Okay. Well, great. That's wonderful
and
to hear.
So, yeah, if I could add something, too, because I sure. also lost a child. And what I've read in many, many different books, it's really the advanced souls that choose to incarnate in those type of situations, into situations where they're either challenged mentally or physically. And also, you know, also very, very brave souls to choose to incarnate for very short lifespans. And the ones that, you know, choose to incarnate for very short lifespans, along with the mental or physical inabilities, are like super, super advanced souls that can actually take that kind of thing, you know?
Right.
And as parents of having that, you too are probably a very advanced soul as well, because you're able to tolerate that kind of, you know, pain, you know, and I know what that pain feels like personally.
Some of what I've read about what you're saying about people choosing the lives or where they go mm-hmm. is that a lot of yeah. times people know when they go into this life. I've read, you know, stories about people who have readings from children where they said, I was only supposed to be there for a certain amount of time, and I
yep.
knew that.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You know, and yeah, you know, and I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I've had that actually come through in readings, too, you know, because people always, you know, especially when it's the passing of a child, want to know why, you know, there's always the question of why. And usually children will give me some kind of something along those lines in one way or another, you know?
That makes me feel better. They always say like special souls choose certain people. You get that raising a child who's disabled, and I never wanted to believe that. It was always but I've just been reading so much and reading mm-hmm. just about, you know, afterlife, and it brings me peace to know that she was here for a purpose, and to teach me a lesson.
Right.
And then, you know, there's a plethora of resources through the Forever Family Foundation that, you know, I'm sure you can tap into, that it's just endless what you can learn about all of that. Another good website is Victor Zammit from Australia. I don't know if you've heard of him. That's Zammitt, Victor Zammit. He's a retired lawyer from Australia who has his Friday Life After reports, and it's just loaded with all kinds of amazing information. So it's, I would definitely recommend it as well.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Welcome. Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
You too. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you very much. So that was quite an interesting call, kind of a struggle close to me as well.
So.
But, you know, I just wanted to get back a little bit to the last caller, or the one of the questions that we dealt with before the last caller about the person that's struggling, that when a person is dead, they're dead. And you presented a really good case from the spiritual side that's not the case. But, if anybody is skeptical out there about, you know, if you're dead, you're dead, simple as that, we're just meat puppets, that's not the case. And from a scientific point of view, I would urge anybody to just go to YouTube and put in, you know, the search thing, put in double slit experiment, okay, and it goes to prove that consciousness is what dictates reality. Consciousness is what does it. It's not the other way around. Reality,
right.
Your brain doesn't create consciousness. It's the consciousness that creates the brain. And that's what the double slit experiment proves without a doubt. I mean, it's foolproof. It's never failed.
Right, every single time. And for people who don't know, just really quickly, all it basically is that it shows that when a photon is observed, it behaves in one way versus when it's not. And if
exactly.
you were just, like you said, I love that, a meat puppet. if you were just a meat puppet with no... consciousness, you know, at all in any way or anything existing outside of you, that would not be the case. It wouldn't matter whether you observed that photon or not.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right.
So,
bottom line, you know,
elaborate a little bit more. If a wave can be a light wave can be a particle. The smallest bit of light could be a particle or a wave. A wave is a potential. A particle is once the wave collapses into a particle. And what this double slit experiment is a projector firing one particle of light at a time through two holes onto a second screen. And if you, depending on the refraction pattern that you see on the second screen, it either lands on that second screen as a wave or a particle, and it always depends on whether it's been observed or not, and it never fails.
Right, and always is the keyword.
I explained it properly.
Right. No, you did good, and you know, I do want to say too, for anyone or maybe that same person who was struggling, if you're still listening, I encountered this in my own research, where again, you get a lot of people in, you know, mainstream science, and this is not to say I'm anti-science, because I'm so not, but a lot of people struggle with that because it pokes a major hole in, you know, the materialistic paradigm that we are just meat puppets. And, you know, it might not prove every single thing about consciousness, but it proves the most important, which is that it's actually something that's there. You know what I mean?
Yep. Absolutely.
And I think that's like the most important place to start for people. So, and it's funny you bring that up, because for a while that really, for me, was like, I was like, all right, well, you know, I might sound crazy, but at least, you know, the double slit experiment does show. So it's a super important one. And I think starting there and going from there really does help people.
Yeah, well, that's the birth of quantum physics right there.
Right.
From those experiments.
Exactly.
And that's how, you know, that whole science just came about. It's really amazing.
Right.
I'm not a quantum physicist by any means, but
same.
I just know the foundations of it a little bit. So
yeah,
it's really cool.
Exactly.
Really
know
cool
know
stuff.
A thing or two, right?
You know, I've been around.
Yeah.
So listen, what do you enjoy most of having your psychic medium mystic abilities?
Oh my! What I enjoy the most.
Yep.
All right. So I know that I'm supposed to say what I enjoy the most is helping people, and I really do enjoy that, honestly.
Mm-hmm.
But my favorite part of it is using it to like navigate the world, because I am so very rarely caught off guard by anything that anyone does or says. Like, I really rely on my psychic ability and the messages I get from my guides to kind of steer me in the right direction. And I always joke with friends of mine who are always like, oh my God, like, I'm so not psychic, you know, they'll call me about this thing or that thing, and I'm like, I don't know how the hell people live without this, like, this compass that I have. I don't really get it. So that really, for me, just personally, is my favorite part of it, is just being able to sort of, you know, feel around with people energetically and know, like, all right, talk to this person, maybe you should steer clear of this, or don't go for this opportunity, there's no energy around it. Yeah, basically, and I'd be lying if I said that wasn't my favorite part of it.
Okay.
A little selfish, I know, but
I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah.
And on the flip side, what do you like least about having those abilities?
All right. So this is also kind of a silly answer, but I think that what I like the least is not so much anything about my abilities, but it's that most people don't really understand it when I talk about it. Like, I'm spoiled because a lot of my friends are mediums and they're very spiritual, and, you know, I'm very involved with, you know, Forever Family, so I talk to a lot of people who do get it. But then when I step outside of my circle, if I'm, like, because I'm single, so if I go on a date or something, or, you know, you're talking to anybody really new, most of the people don't even, they think, like, a psychic medium is just someone who sets up a table on a boardwalk and charges you $5 for a palm reading, you know? They don't see the difference. So for me, that's always what I like the least about it, because I'm constantly having to explain to people what it is and what it's not. And then, you know, you get the, oh, but what do you know about me? You know what I mean? It's sort of that challenge you get from other people. And I used to enjoy it, but as I'm getting, it's not that I'm old, but as I'm getting older, I'm a little bit like, all right, leave me alone.
That's a good answer. No, there's no shame in that answer. None whatsoever.
Yeah. But the gifts themselves, I have no problem with. Like, I don't know how I'd live without them.
Right. You know, we're actually running out of time. I think I've got And you know what? I apologize for not answering, getting all the questions to you, but, you know, it is what it is.
Right.
Let me ask you one last question. How do you, like, doing readings, does it drain you of your energy? Do you need to rest afterwards? What's that all about?
Yes. I actually have changed my schedule this year, and I consolidated my readings. I used to read like 4 days a week, I think, and now I push them all to the first 3 days of the week, and I just devote those 3 days to doing nothing but readings and taking care of, you know, whatever I have to do at home. And then really, usually I spend Thursdays, today, I had the radio show today, but there was no reading, so that's good. I kind of got to rest all day.
Mm-hmm.
But I usually take Thursday as a rest day, and then just because it's, you know, 1 hour of work, really, one reading, it can feel like I've worked like an 8-hour shift after I've done two or three readings in a day. It really does take a lot of your energy out, which was very surprising when I first started, because I kind of was like, oh, this is going to be great. I get to sit and talk to people every day, and this is, you know, it's going to be so easy, and I'm just listening, and it's a lot of work. You don't realize, but it's a lot.
It is, but you know what? You're great at it, and it's perfect for you because you really do have the gift of gab, let me tell you.
Yes, all of my elementary school teachers would agree with you, yeah. It was
well,
a trouble
Joel,
every
thank
year.
You so much. Thank you so much for coming on the
you.
Show, and thank you to our dear listeners and to our callers, and I hope you guys had a good time, and well, you know, I will be back in a month from now with another show, with another medium, and Joel, we thank you profusely, and you've provided
thank you
some
for
amazing
having
insight.
Thank
so
you.
We
take care.
Of course, you're welcome. So with that, we're going to say good night, and just, you know, remember that our loved ones are always with us, just a heartbeat away, as good old friend Ginsberg used to say, who's always dear in our hearts, and we will see you soon. Thank you very much. Good night, everybody.